our liberty, that all the Old Testament contradictions about Christ come true in the one person in Jesus. And there you go. Hundreds of prophets. By one conservative account, around 300. With such complexity at work, I don't have enough faith to think of all of them. You know, forces of nature, history, and how to break things down to simplicity. Something complicated like a watch, packed full of screws and wheels, don't simply just come together. That's what our purpose and design. In the same way, the sovereign God who knows the future intended from the beginning to send his Son as the Savior of the world. The Lord reveals some of the details in advance, so that we study them and eagerly expect Christ. Here's an illustration from the late Baptist preacher Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers' son David was a missionary in Spain. Rogers loved David, his wife, and their children, so naturally they called. I think that was before Zoom, Skype, WhatsApp. So the phone bill was very high. Still, the parents would call because it's all worth it. Now, Rogers could not just pick up the phone, randomly dial, and expect to hear David's voice on the other line. What's the chance of that? Billions of people on earth. Rather, that's when Adrian picks up the phone. That eliminates everyone on earth who doesn't have a phone. That narrows it down a lot. Then he dialed 011, which eliminates everyone who lives in the United States. That's why dialing 34, all the other nations of the world are excluded except Spain. Then he dialed 600 and zoomed into a specific region of Spain. Finally, there's a series of successive numbers. With each number, the father gets closer to his son on the other one. He goes from billions to millions to thousands to hundreds to tens to millions. He finds his beloved son, but he knows the phone. Consider how the Bible will give you that kind of access to Christ. Each ancient prophecy, like a cold prodigy. Add them up, and you reach Jesus, not enough. Start with the seed of the woman, go on to the seed of Abraham. Star of Jacob, Lion of Judah, King of David, one of the virgins. As we've been talking about Christ, the prophet, priest, and king. Each of these predictions are important. They come together in the unique person of Jesus. So that's Adrian Rogers' illustration. But let me push that analogy a bit further. When I was young, I had a pretty simplistic telephone. I have one of those. Some people don't understand. There's museums for this kind of thing now. But I'm not really sure if my phone had a speed dial. So all my important numbers were written down somewhere, memorized with both. Now, with smartphones and direct messaging, I don't even think to commit them to memory. I still do commit to memory the numbers of my wife and my mother. I'm sure later I'll have my son's number etched in my mind. There's special people. I'm sure there's special people in your life. You decide to memorize their address, their number, all those things. And in each messianic prophecy, like a digit or phone number to reach Jesus, you should know them. Today, on this Christmas day, I want us to dive into specific prophecies that add up to the unique birth of Jesus, the Christ. So think about three passages from Isaiah, Daniel, and Micah. I'm not really going to get too deep into these, but I'm covering a lot here. But Isaiah, Daniel, and Micah, that relates to how, when, and where, respectively. That leads us to three Christmases. One, Christ is born of a virgin to be man. Christ is born of a virgin to be man. Two, Christ is born on time to be Messiah the Prince. Christ is born on time to be Messiah the Prince. And three, Christ is born in Bethlehem to be the shepherd ruler. Christ is born in Bethlehem to be the shepherd ruler. First, Christ is born of a virgin to be man. This is truly a wonder of wonders. I say that because the whole process of conception, pregnancy, and birth is amazing in itself. I hope you guys know that very well. Just watching my wife grow up human life inside her is amazing. The only way to top that is the virgin birth of Jesus. And if that wasn't enough of a miracle, this wonder of wonders was predicted 700 years before Christ. Let me read a prophecy from Isaiah and then read its fulfillment in Matthew, Isaiah 7, 1 through 17. Isaiah 7, 1 through 17. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, the resident king of Syria, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not keep Baal against it. And he was told to the house of David, saying, 'Serious forces are deployed in Ephraim, for his heart and the heart of his people were moved, and the trees of the woods are moved with the wind.' Then the Lord said by them, 'Go out now, ye Ahaz, you and Sher Jashub, your son, at the end of the aqueduct, in the upper pool, to the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, take heed that you fight, do not fear, or be faint-hearted, these two stones of smoking firebrand. For a fierce anger rested in Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, 'Let us go up against Judah and trouble him. Let us make a gap in his wall for ourselves, and set a king over them, the son of Hadad.' Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. The head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is present. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, so that they will not be able to. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask the son for yourself from the Lord, your God. Ask it either into death, or into the title of the Lord. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And he said, hear now, house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, or will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a son. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curse and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by all your kings. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people. In the father's house, the day that have not come since the day that Ephraim was brought up to Judah." Now, this is a lot to dig into, and if you like to dig into deeper into Isaiah, I highly recommend Edward J. Young's commentary, or if you want a living commentary, there's a man sitting right there in the back after the service. I'll give you his phone number, email, address, so you will find them. So, for now, here's just a quick overview. The Emmanuel prophecy was given during an 8th century international crisis, the divided monarchy. It was known as the Syro-Ephraimite War. Northern Israel joined forces with the neighboring Syria to revolt against Assyria, who ruled over them. They wanted Judah, the southern kingdom, to join the coalition. They refused to take a no. Judah, their king, and people were scared, fearing for their lives. But then God said, Isaiah the prophet assured the king that these two threats were nothing but dying fire. Incredible message that they find a lot. Hard to believe. But King Ahab is given a once-in-a-lifetime chance to ask for any confirmation, any miracle that will strengthen his faith. But he pridefully refused to ask in a show of faith. God rebuked him, but he gave him a wonderful sign anyways, a virgin will have a child. This prophetic sign was given to the entire house of David, not Ahab alone, and its fulfillment would happen later. Meanwhile, as promised, the immediate threats to Judah faded away. Within a few years, within a short period of infancy or childhood, they were gone. Now let's turn to Matthew 1:18-25, to see the fulfillment of the New Testament. Matthew 1:18-25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, when they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public attack, was minded to put her away secretly. So while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, who will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." And Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her, until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Here's a little background on Joseph and Mary. One commentator, Louis Marbury, is helpful in explaining the standard Hebrew practice of the time. So, marriages were arranged for individuals by parents, and contracts were negotiated. After this was accomplished, the individuals were considered married and called husband and wife. They did not, however, begin to live together. Instead, the woman continued to live with her parents, and the man with his for 1 year. The waiting period was to demonstrate the faithfulness of the pledge of purity given concerning the bride. If she was found to be child in the spirit, she obviously was not pure, but had been involved in an unfaithful sexual relationship. Therefore, marriage could be annulled. If, however, the 1 year waiting period demonstrated the purity of the bride, the husband would then go to the house of the bride's parents and in a grand processional march lead his bride home. There they would begin to live together as husband and wife and consummate their marriage physically. Matthew's story, if you read with this background in mind. But imagine the initial disappointment of Joseph. His conscience would not allow him to stay with Mary, but his heart would not allow him to humiliate him. This is when the Lord steps in. Joseph found out that as the heavens are higher than you, or God's way is higher than our ways, and his thoughts and our ways. The answer to the question, now that Mary is pregnant, is completely different than expected. The answer is this: that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. This is essentially what was said to Mary in Luke 1:35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the highest will overshadow. Therefore, also the Holy One who is born was to be born of the Son of God. I don't have all the signs of the virgin birth. This is truly a miracle. But it is interesting to know these names and their name meanings. The name of Emmanuel, how it parallels with the name of Jesus. Let's get together in one unified message. The wonderful news of Christmas and the gospel is this. Not only are we saved, but we going on. Not only separation, but intimacy with God. So that answers how Jesus was born. Christ is born of a virgin, a man. Second, when was Jesus born? Christ was born on time to be the sign of the things. This is about when. Why is it that Christ arrived when he did? What is meant by the Bible teaching us when the fullness of the time came? God sent forth his son. There's a prophecy for that. And it has to do with number 7. And you not. Daniel was chapter, no longer that young man, served family, king Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 1. Many decades have passed, now serves Darius the Mede. In chapter 9, Daniel recalled something from the scriptures. Trying to understand that he understood by the books the number of the years specified by the wisdom of the Lord who verified the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years of desolation. The passage refers to Jeremiah 25 and 29. We also find in 2 Chronicles 36 and 21 that the land of Israel needed those 70 years of rest. It was to keep the Sabbath prescribed in the law ignored by the Sabbath. But now the period of Daniel, was a occasion to pray, fast, intercede. While doing so, he created a pure passion after he gave him sacrifice. The passage for Daniel is about 500 years prior to the New Testament. Starts with a funeral. Daniel, I have not come forth to give you skill to understand. The beginning of his supplications, the man went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are great deep to love. Therefore, consider the man and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for the nation, to bring in everlasting righteousness. People love vision and power, and to anoint the Lord. Talk about the word When we think about that word, normally think of cycle of 7 consecutive days. But the word in the original language simply means 7. Unless these words are accompanied by the word days, like it is in chapter 10, verse 2, we should interpret here as larger cycle of 7 years. That's the case in chapter 1. But with 7 and 15 for the animal, 69 multiplied up by 7, and we already know that 12 months make up a year. So the next step is to determine the number of days. Normally, say 5 days in a year, 366 in a leap year. But as we see in Genesis, chapter 7 and 8, ancient Israelites counted 30 days in a month. Also, we find in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, that 1,000 correspond to 44 for 3.5 years. The year consists of 360 days. All the calculations in place, looking at a total of 173,880 days. Now, where is the starting point? We read in verse 25 that it's from the going forth of the commandment. Many interpreters think of Cyrus to increase and rebuild the temple, but Daniel's prophecy has to do with the restoration of the city itself. I think the command refers to Nehemiah's efforts authorized by King Artaxerxes in Nehemiah chapter 2. That takes us to March 14th, 25 BC. Finally, we get to the end point, starting from March 14th, 45 BC, adding 173,880 days. Adjusting for solar calendar and leap years, we arrive at 32 BC. A claim will go as far as to say that you land precisely at the day of the triumphal entry, on Sunday, April 6th. That's what until the sign of Christmas means, Daniel 9. Whether we agree with the claim or not, the exact, I mean, we know for sure the people were not sincere in their welcome that day. So in 1941-44, our Lord wept over the city. As the things that make for their peace were hidden from their eyes, they did not know the time of their visitation. So they rejected their Christ. And in 1946, there's more to be discussed concerning that final 7-year peak. The future corresponds to the 7-year tribulation of Revelation, culminating in Christ's second coming. Today's about the first advent. And since Daniel 9 sets the timer for Christ's first appearance on earth, we have to be warned about 4 centuries and a half after Nehemiah. Afterward, Jesus had all things together, grow up, complete his adult ministry, prepare his disciples for the church. All that before his cut off, not for himself. Which means die sacrificial. More on that. Actually, that's a lot of numbers. That's leave behind the calculator and map. The geography. Our maps. Jesus was not only born of a virgin, not only does he have a birthday, he has a birthplace. If you think about Christ's birthday, you can't avoid the question of where. You may snag about it, you see in the scriptures, but that was predicted in advance. That gets us to the third lesson. Christ is born in Bethlehem, in the shepherd. Thus we might apply by 5:8. But But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the Son of Man, who is Israel, one who are from Abraham. Therefore he shall give them up some of the time as he who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and heal his flock and strengthen the Lord, the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. Now he shall be great at the ends of the earth, and this one shall be. By the way, my go-to book for the Minor Prophets is the commentary by Charles Spivey. You might check that out. Last year, I used it to prepare a Christmas sermon on this passage, the short introduction of my book. Now, I won't be able to cover as much ground today, but as a reminder, the first point, first sermon point I made that day, was about how Jesus hails from obscurity and eternity. That's the focus of the first two. Micah's time, Bethlehem, Judah was so obscure. Audience needed help. That modified that prophet develops. If you turn to the list of cities in Joshua, you see that there's another Bethlehem in the land of Zebulun. But the Bethlehem in this passage is too small and insignificant if we put it to the list of cities of Joshua or Nehemiah. Nowhere near this famous area. If it is one town among thousands, one like the one. No other man can say that his own is poor, but among poor. Everlasting. My origins are from 19. Now let us go back to the first half of the 20th century. Only Jesus can stand for Abraham. Christ came according to the flesh. Yet it is more eternally blessed God. One born as David's son, David's hometown. Second, really blame the master, heading to Jerusalem to look for he who has been born king of the Jews. I'm an ambassador to the U.S., I visited Washington, D.C. Not Elbridge. You want to see the King of England go to London, not Castle Combe, but he does it as it is. God of the universe made himself a helpless babe, became a small family. His first address was a humble abode. The shepherd ruler welcomed the poor shepherd. Just to review, Christ is born, virgin female, born on fire, inside the prince. Born in Bethlehem to be the shepherd of the How do these truths shape us today? I say we need to take two actions. One, celebration. Two, proclamation. First, celebration. Christmas is a yearly reminder of Christ's birth. But the celebration is all year round. Jesus was born physically, so that we may be reborn spiritually. Thank this last time, I love how Charles Wesley based the connection in the heart of the Herald angels. Born that man who was born made God, born to raise the Son of the earth, born to give him second birth. The day of his birth has everything to do with our day of salvation. That's why we celebrate today and forever. Secondly, there's some proclamation. If our country really is becoming post-Christian, we can seize upon the chance to answer questions like, what's this Christmas all about? I feel all shouting and giddy at this time of the year. And if we had such opportunities, let's be ready to share it up. Think of it like this, probably. madness. Reality is that I came back. That they did not. Mary from under. We are exiled from heaven. That's the Russian expression. All we like sheep have gone straight. We have turned heaven. That's why God came to earth in flesh. One of the virgins, man, God with us. Christ was born to be beside us. Yet he was cut off. But not for himself. Talk about my home. I believe it's wrong now from the book. Born to die upon Calvary. Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary. He was wounded by my sin. Another recent song expresses it well. Jesus was cut off that I might enter in. We proclaim the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Christ the original sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, holy and innocent, died to pay our sins, pay the penalty of sin. That's not the end of it. Christ is the shepherd ruler. He shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. The majesty of the name of the Lord is the Lord. Fill that destiny. Jesus rose from the dead. Send it to heaven. But we turn Sunday to establish justice. Peace on earth. The male child born of a virgin will someday rule a nation at the bottom. Face our hope of heaven needs. A nation not of our choice, but based alone with faith. Proclaim this truth just as the shepherds did. We must make widely known the saying which was told them concerning. Build the Great Commission. Go. Tell it on the mountain. Over to those in heaven. Jesus Christ. So we thank you that your word here gave the word. You have to work in a work place. Practice on that anyone born of a virgin. All these are signs that help us to trust in you. For those who, many of us here, who already trust, they are pleased for the rest of this year and next year. Help us to celebrate, have joy in our hearts. Darkness seems to reign. We're discouraged and our broken bodies. Help them to proclaim. Tell others about the good news.